Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Yeah, I think a combination, we've been frustrated for a while, but the combination of hitting some balls hard and then having nothing to show for it, you know, when we were up against it, against, you know, a really good closer, actually a really good bullpen late in the game, to have our best at bats. So that just kind of adds to the frustration.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That's Bob Melvin. He is not on the hot seat. That's the not seat. Not the hot seat, the not seat for Bob Melvin. That's what we stated yesterday, right? The Giants, Warriors, and 49ers have a sum total of nobody.
Right.
At least not in the leadership roles. No GMs, no coaches. Owners can't be on a hot seat. They own the team.
Yep.
I mean, I guess you could say that John Fisher is on a different kind of hot seat.
Not really.
I mean, not in terms of losing his job.
Right. Nobody like us.
Yeah, nobody like us. So there's that. But anyway, like, interesting, right? The Grizzlies fire their coach. The Nuggets fire their coach. Today, the New York Knicks fired their coach. Tom Thibodeau fired today after an appearance in the Eastern Conference Finals. They released a statement about how, we feel like there's, you know, somebody else that we need to kind of take us to the next level. So I got to thinking, there are three NBA coaches fired this year in recent months who I would argue we didn't see that coming. We did not see that coming, so maybe we check ourselves. And the point that we put out there yesterday with regard to nobody here in the Bay Area being on the hot seat, or what if we broaden it to also being players, assistant coaches, whatever you want it to be. So 888-957-9570. You got to pick one name and one name only. I don't care who this person is. In Bay Area sports, it could be the Valkyries head coach. Don't do that. They've only played like 5 games. But anyway, whoever is right now on your mind that is on the hot seat in Bay Area sports, you got any names?
I was thinking about this earlier, and the one name I think about, and it's just because this might be the wildest offseason we've ever seen, it's Draymond Green. And he's a made man. You got 4 titles, and he's making about $27 million a year this upcoming year. And I thought that his play, especially in that last series, and, you know, I know he was DPOY according to him, but he's a declining player. So his seat might be getting hot. If you really want to do something bold, and you're not going to trade Steph Curry ever, Jimmy Butler, I don't think, is tradable, and he's the Robin to Steph's Batman. So for me, if you're looking for a bold move with a big salary, it's Draymond Green. I put him on the hot seat.
Say it with your chest.
I'll stand on it.
Yeah.
They traded Klay Thompson.
Lucas said Pat Burrell.
Not bad.
I thought mine is like way too obvious, but especially with what has taken place today with Bryce Eldridge being called up to AAA, Lamont Wade. Lamont Wade is on the hot seat. Like, Lamont Wade is on the hot seat.
Yeah.
That is just, that's true right now.
The hottest seat probably is Jake Moody. And that's maybe a little too obvious because I'm fighting for my life.
Well, I mean, is Jonathan Kuminga on the hot seat?
Depends.
Is he?
He's on the not seat because he doesn't have control over whether or not he...
No, but I mean, look, you could argue that the man has a job that's already to a degree been taken from him.
Yep.
Now, he'd go get it back or not. And you're right. It's like it's not under his control. He doesn't have the leverage and whatnot. I understand all that. But there is a way to look at it where I think that you could sell that he has the hottest seat of any Bay Area sports person right now.
Yeah, I think that I would buy it more this time last year where he was going into the contract year. It's like, you know, it's time to, you know, Casey Schmidt or get off the pot. And he got hurt. He played well and he got hurt. And so I think going into last year is when his seat was actually hotter because he was trying to play his way into a contract.
I like this answer. 925 wrote Brandon Ayuk. Now, we could talk about this a little bit later if you want, but I noticed this. This went up on Instagram today, and Brandon is he's not happy. And sometimes I hesitate on social media to fully think that I know what the person's talking about when they sort of like lash out. But I think we can make an educated guess here. I really do. Don't you? Let me read this to you.
Okay.
Brandon just takes a selfie of himself, and then there's a bunch of text that's kind of written over his face, and this is what it says. Y'all crybaby-ass divas be killing the vibes on IG. Shaking my head is got to be an age limit on hating. If you are 30 years or older, just post your kids and shut the bleep up.
Damn, was that on Instagram?
That's on, indeed it is. Yes, that is on Instagram.
Oh, it's on his story.
Yeah, Brandon's a story. He's an IG story guy. I've noticed this kind of on the younger generation, I think even more so. It's just stories. A lot of people don't do posts at all.
Yeah.
Put the story up. Let it sit there for 24 hours or whatever it is. Get it the hell off. Gone. But, I mean, it's a good answer about Brandon somewhat being on the hot seat. I'm over here telling you that Ricky Pearsall is going to be their one this year. You're over here going, go sign Amari Cooper. That sounds like a hot seat. That sounds like a hot seat for a player.
Right.
I mean, he is being paid like a uber super duper number one receiver in this league. And we're sitting here almost trying to forget about him.
Well, because he's not available right now, and he may not be until October or November or who knows when. And I
read this IG post as he probably gets a lot of people saying that on a daily basis on his feed. I bet he gets a lot of it.
I'm sure. And, you know, fans are frustrated, and fans were on Debo last year, and Debo had a down year. He was a little disappointing. And so fans were pretty vocal about that as well. I don't know if it all boils down to how much money a player makes, but when Brandon Ayuk holds out for the bag, and then he gets the bag, and then he doesn't play well, and he starts to turn the corner, and a quarter and a half later, he gets hurt. Fans are frustrated. And, you know, they have the right to do that and be frustrated.
Well, the frustration, the injury to me was just something that sort of flamed up what was already there. You know what I mean? Like if an injury just happened, if that had been a smooth offseason and Brandon had signed for $26 million and it was early and there was no holdout, and then you got hurt, we all would have shed a tear for the guy.
Yeah.
We would have, like, that would have felt almost like Steph Curry walking off the court with a hammy. But because it came in the shadows of a prolonged holdout, it was filled with some angst at one another. Obviously, it got talked out on these airwaves ad nauseum all summer long. And then you showed up and started dropping balls. You weren't performing. And then you blow your knee up. And so the only taste right now that's left in people's mouths is an incredibly negative one. But I wonder where your head goes when we ask this. Like, who do you kind of want to be on the Bay Area hot seat right now? Maybe not even are they. Who do you want, though, to be on that hot seat? 888-957-9570. How about Big Smooth in Oakland? Hey, Smooth, thanks for calling. What's up?
I don't know. I wasn't going to call today until I heard the dibbler says, Draymond Green, let's get it rid. So I'm thinking, okay, great. Great idea. Let's get rid of the best defensive player we have on our team that really is not a great defensive team. Eight or nine time defensive player of the year. First time, all defensive team at it is past his mid-30s. Yeah, let's get rid of that guy. In fact, let's get rid of the coach as well, four-time champion. I mean, some of this stuff makes no sense at all. And I know last year everybody called for Draymond's head. I get it. Even to say, I'm not going to watch any more Warrior games until they get rid of Draymond. Although they lied, they came back. But I'm just saying, why would you get rid of the best defensive player that we have? And another point, how come McCaffrey doesn't hardly get any criticism? He was fine until he held out, and then all of a sudden he can't play for the whole year. But he rarely gets criticism in the Bay Area. I just think you guys like to criticize who you like to criticize, and some people are off limits to you. Please explain that.
Well, I think he'll get criticism this year, and last year I think that he mostly escaped it because he had a bad injury. And I'm not usually of the mind to criticize a guy who gets hurt.
Did you also say, Big Smooth, that McCaffrey was getting fined or something? Did I, like...
Let me ask you this.
Hold on. Oh. I want to make sure we're accurate. What did you say happened to McCaffrey last offseason?
I said he held out. No,
he didn't hold out. He skipped voluntary camp. He skipped voluntary camp.
Hold out. Okay, but it was a holdout initially because he did not report to voluntary camp, and we found out because he wanted more upfront money. Am I right about that?
Well, no, because
it's voluntary, you can't hold out of something that's voluntary.
You're using the word holdout, which does not – I get this is a little semantic, so I don't want to get stuck on it, Big Smooth, but holdouts don't start until late July. And so Christian McCaffrey did not hold out last year.
Okay, technically you're right.
Yeah.
This sure seemed like a holdout to me. But anyway, so again, everybody out there, Draymond's head, I get it. He's a volatile dude. But he's also the best defensive player we have. So I would just like to know, who's going to play defense when he's gone? Just give me that. Can you just give me that? Who's going to be the defensive player that Draymond is now? I'm not saying you're going to be identical, but who's going to play defense?
Well, the idea would be you would trade him and you would get something in return, and hopefully that player would be somebody who is defensive-minded. And you know, Draymond Green started to me, show the wear and tear of his age and what he's asked to do. And he also was number two in the league in turnover rate. So it's not like just because he's a phenomenal defensive player means that he's a perfect player, Big Smooth.
Well, I do wonder, why would you trade Draymond and then get a new defensive-minded player? Like, you're probably not going to get as good of a defender back. And the warts that he started to show toward the end of the season, my guess, at least my hope, is that that was a result of him having to play center so much, which wears him down because he's not big enough to do it. And I don't think that's their plan next year to play it that way. So
I wonder what their plan is.
I don't know. I mean, and the third thing I'd say is whenever somebody starts talking about trading Jimmy Butler or Draymond Green, I don't know what the desire is around the league for those players right now. Who's trading for Draymond Green? Like, that's a very, very intricate kind of an ask.
Yeah.
That needs to be a championship-ready team that also wants some sort of a mean streak to be added to their squad. I don't think that there are many teams out there that would be interested in adding Draymond Green at $25 million a year.
It's only two more years, and I wonder about that because there are teams out there who would probably relish having a defender like Draymond Green or somebody who is a veteran presence. Think about Detroit, a team that is up and coming.
Maybe.
And, you know, it's a return home for him, and they're a team that figures to be in, maybe not in the mix at the top of the East next year, but they're a playoff team this year.
They're a pretty good defensive team already.
Yep.
They've got Duren, who is, you know, half Draymond's age.
You love Duren.
I love Duren. He is an underdog / prize picks genius. He gets all the rebounds. I love him. I absolutely love him. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Glad you're with us. First of all, I always love it when Filmo Mike calls, but this potentially, based on the little note that's in front of me, it's possible that this is the best ever call that Filmo Mike has made to this radio show.
Okay.
That's my tease. Let's see if he can then take it across the goal line. Let's go live to Filmo Mike. Filmo, what's going on?
Hey, what's good? Don't try to put the pressure on me because I'm finna get on your line.
Let's go. Come on, man. Pressure's on. This is your time. So, this is your dance floor.
I know. So, you know, I went viral with y'all. I'll be telling people, man, I went viral with 95.7 The Game. You know, I'm on another station. Anyway, though, but listen, you are on the hot seat, Mark Willard. You're on the hot seat.
Stand
on
it.
For being a homer.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, but not calling out Steve Kerr. Yeah, you'll say something like this. You cute, Mark. You'll be like this. Yeah, Steve Kerr mentioned it. No, call him out. Steve Kerr. You're a great coach, 4-time champion, U.S. Olympian, all that. The bottom line is, bro, you fumbled about 2 or 3 of our draft picks, bro. And that's the fact of the matter. I don't care what the circumstance was. Your job as a coach, one of the jobs is to get your team as far as they can, right? But to also develop your players. And he didn't find out a way. He had a little bit too much pride with Kuminga. He took a while with Moody. He needs – So you're on the hot seat for loving Kerr so much, bro. Now what we gonna say?
I'll tell you exactly what I'm gonna say. You want to know when I'm gonna call someone out, Filmo? I'm gonna call someone out when I feel like I should call them out. But I categorically disagree with what you just said. First of all, you put draft picks on him. He didn't even make the draft picks. Second of all, I loved this conversation earlier today. It happened on Steiny and Goo. It has happened on this show. I will forever believe this. The number one person in charge of development with any team in any sport is the player himself. Period. Period. No, it is not Steve Kerr's job in the middle of trying to win championships to grab the hands of Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody and mold them together to be perfect players. Do you blame him for James Wiseman as well? Or are we ready to say that he can't play? Is it Kyle Shanahan's fault? Is it Kyle Shanahan's fault that he didn't develop Trey Lance? Or is Trey Lance just not a very good player? So that's my opinion on it. And I'll call Steve Kerr out when I agree with you, Filmo. But my man in charge of the morning show rejoin, which is brilliant. So I love you, but I
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Disagree with you wholeheartedly.
I love you for that, but you're moving the goalposts a little bit. Lance is trash. Yes, you are, because Trey Lance was trash. It was proven that he was trash in the game. Kuminga came in with no zero playing time, hardly ever, and asked to just help the team. And guess what he did? He was the leading scorer for those games. So I'm not saying that the plight with Kuminga's the perfect player. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is Kerr's job was to make it work a lot better, and he failed at that. So you better believe that. You better agree with that.
But I don't. I couldn't disagree with it more, Philmo. You're the one moving the goalposts. You don't get to pick four games at the end of the year that don't have their best player, tell me he was their leading scorer, even though they lost all of the games, and then somehow decide that that means Jonathan Kuminga should this, that, or the other. I'll never understand why people like you can't see what Steve is saying, which is that it's not just about points. There are tons of guys who can go score 22 points in an NBA game, but do they fit with what's going on around them? And Jonathan needs the ball in his hands, and that job is taken here. Philmo, you know this.
No, because Steve Kerr's job, you keep moving the goalposts, is to make it fit.
No.
You have a player.
He was hurt.
No, he was hurt. You have a player.
Philmo.
You have a Kerr's job.
He was hurt.
Kerr's job is to recognize greatnesses and undermine weaknesses. And he didn't do that.
No.
He put him in a situation where, okay, you're going to score a lot, but you're going to do this. You got to reel him in. You got to tell Kuminga, bro, you ain't finna play straight to his face. I need 10 rebounds right now.
Oh, I can promise you, Philmo, they've done that, and he does not want to hear it. He does not want to hear it. You know darn well about the report in Portland, which was the last straw for Steve Kerr, which is Jonathan Kuminga looked off a wide-open Steph Curry, wouldn't give him the ball. So why don't we open ourselves up to the stubbornness of Jonathan Kuminga's style? Because that's a real thing. That's part of this conversation. Plus, he can't work him into the system because he was hurt. And then when he came back, Jimmy Butler was there, and the whole team was different. Philmo, you know this story. We've all lived this.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be out.
All right, my man.
you tripping on one missed shot? You know how many open threes Steph them be
I'm
missing?
Not, I'm not tripping
I'm
on one missed shot.
I'm just going to keep it real. He's the greatest shooter, but he missed open threes too.
Of course he does.
You got to empower the player to say, bro, Steph may be there, but bro, you shot your shot, okay. Don't trip. Next time, if you see him open, hit him. You don't kill the player. You don't kill the player, Mark.
Yes, you do.
He killed Kuminga.
No, he did not kill Kuminga. Philmo, I love you. Thank you, brother. There's others who want to get on in here. Look, the bottom line is this isn't about one shot. This is about strategy. This is about a style. This is about a way that a team approaches it. Let me give you an example that happened in Little League over the weekend.
Oh, boy.
Okay? And it drove. I'm going to leave all the names out of this.
I hope so. The kid's probably 11.
I will not. Well, but the coach is not. And I'm going to leave. I'm not going to tell you the team.
Okay.
And I'm not going to tell you the coach.
I'm not going to ask.
But I saw this in a Little League game over the weekend where I live. Okay? What I watched was a player who happens to probably be the best player on said team decided to break a team rule right in the middle of a playoff game in a very, very important moment late in the game. Now, whether you like that rule or not, whether you agree with it or not, that's a team rule. And what that player did was he swung on 3-0. This coach has that as a team rule. That's a no-no. And again, doesn't matter if you agree or disagree.
No green light.
No green light. 3-0 is a take.
Because we're teaching kids to take walks.
But
is
this,
Lamont Wade Jr. the coach?
No.
Okay.
But this player decided, I'm really good, and I don't want to walk. So, by the way, I swung 3-0 at not a strike.
Didn't hit it.
And I hit it.
Oh.
Right back to the pitcher.
Oh, boy.
He got lucky because there was a runner over at second base. The pitcher turned around and wheeled and threw it to second base, and the runner got back in time. And so then the runner was safe at first, and we ended up in the exact same situation as if there was a walk. Said coach, though, then was, and I will not talk about what happened in the dugout next, very angry.
Oh.
He was hurt. He was angry. He was frustrated. He was all of these things. Because a fundamental strategic approach of that team had been broken by one of the players. And I see that as exactly what, at least, the insider reports have said has happened at times with Kuminga and most recently in Portland, which is what led to Jonathan starting to get DNPs.
And this little leaguer did not then get a DNP, nor did he get taken out of the game.
The season ended.
Right.
They lost the game and the season ended.
He didn't just straight up pinch run for him in that moment.
He did not.
Send out little Timmy to pinch run for little Logan.
It took said coach a period of time before he realized that it was a 3-0 pitch.
Oh.
He thought it was, but he wanted to check with the rest of his staff, confirmed that it was a 3-0 pitch. That didn't come until, I don't know, 10 minutes later, and the team is already out on the field.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But no, I don't think there were any immediate consequences.
So are you going to put this little leaguer then on your hot seat list?
Well, yeah, because the season's over anyway. Right. Turn in your jersey, kid.
You're swinging 3-0, you go on the hot seat, little Timmy. Yeah, sorry exactly. About that. It's funny that, anyway, and we talked about this yesterday,
how a good call, Filmo.
All roads lead back to Kuminga, and here we are.
There we are.
We were talking about Bryce Eldridge and a Giants team that can't hit.
Well, we're talking about hot seats, though. And I know, but
roads lead back to Kuminga.
You're on the hot seat, you could. Mark Willard. I like that.
You got a few years left. Anyway, Kuminga is an answer
sure.
that you could use. In this
I guess,
conversation.
But for me, there's not much of a seat at all. He's kind of just standing up. He's standing up waiting to see if he will be back or if he will be elsewhere. So for me, there's no seat at all for Kuminga. The hot seat for Jonathan, for me, was last offseason where it was, okay, now you get a chance to come here and cook. And if you can cook, then it's a contract year and maybe you'll get paid. And if you don't cook and if you happen to not play the way we need you to play and then you get hurt and then Jimmy comes and we don't need you anymore, well, there's no seat at all. You're just, if Jonathan Kuminga's there, he's just standing. He's got no seat. He's standing up.
No, I'm just laughing because yeah, here we are.
All roads lead back to Kuminga.
Jonathan Kuminga.
Yep.
But you all could take this conversation wherever you want it to go. What we started talking about was with the idea of the Knicks firing their coach today. And yesterday, my comment that nobody in the general manager or head coach seat in the Bay Area, at least not with the Niners, Giants, and Warriors, nobody's on the hot seat. But in Bay Area sports, who would you put on the hot seat? And well, we could welcome players to this conversation as well.
Willy Adames should be on the hot seat, but he's got 6.5 years left on his deal. If there were no...
You don't mean that.
If he had a one-year deal, then yeah, he'd be on the hot seat because he's been...
I guess.
He has underperformed based on expectation and salary.
Yes.
But because he has a 6.5 years remaining on his deal...
And a resume. Like a really good resume.
Fine.
That matters. Like you give people a longer leash when you have the resume.
Right. And the leash so far, 60 games in, he's gotten the leash to the extent that he gets to continue to play every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been bad. You mentioned that he is below replacement level player and he is earning the highest contract in the history of the organization. So that in and of itself should put a guy on the hot seat. But when you've got 6.5 years left on your deal, you can't put him on the hot seat.
No, of course not. Of course not. A lot on our text line seem to want to put Steve Kerr on the hot seat. I've noticed none of you are like Philmo Mike and have the guts to call in and say it.
Give the number.
888-957-9570. That's the number.
If they texted in, they know the number already.
That's a good point.
It's the same
point. I don't know if they know that it's the same number.
Yep.
Anyway. All right. Yeah. More you want to weigh in. We'll take more of your phone calls next. This is Willard and Dibs.
You're on the hot seat, Mark Willard. You're on the hot seat.
Stand on it.
For being a homer.
Uh-huh.
But not calling out Steve Kerr. Yeah, you'll say something like this. You cute, Mark. You'll be like this. Yeah, Steve Kerr mentioned it. No, call him out. You're on the hot seat, Mark Willard.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Boy. I like it. I like it. I like it a lot.
You got served.
Oh, okay.
You got straight up.
Do you know what?
Served.
Can someone help me with this? True, genuine question now. If someone loves Kuminga and someone else really loves Steve Kerr, why is the Steve Kerr supporter the homer? Don't they both play for the Warriors?
Because Steve Kerr is the puppet master, and Jonathan Kuminga is having his strings pulled by Steve Kerr.
Oh.
That's why.
And Kerr's part of the establishment.
Yeah.
He's been here longer.
Do you understand how disrespectful I feel those takes are to Jonathan? Do you understand?
Well, Jonathan's the player. He can't go to Steve and say, you know what, Steve? You're going to get a DNC tonight.
You just not coach. You just made it sound like a player literally cannot function in this society without a coach having his back.
No, what I'm saying is a player cannot function in this society without being given the opportunity to play basketball.
Of course he's been given the opportunity. How many games has this man played for the Warriors?
When he gets a DNP.
Yeah, that's the prisoner of the moment.
That's the point, though.
He's been here for 4 years.
That's the point of the relationship.
Do y'all believe he's not had an opportunity?
He has had an opportunity.
That's what we're going to go with.
When he doesn't get put in the game, then he doesn't get an opportunity.
Right.
So that's the point.
Right. That's just the last month and a half. Other than that, that's not been the case. And I would argue in professional sports, you can't be held down if you're awesome. You cannot be held off of the field if you prove that what you do on the field or court or whatever is so valuable, because there are billions of dollars at stake. And this is the fundamental thing that I always get into with people about whether it's Steve Kerr or Mike Dunleavy or Kyle Shanahan or any quote-unquote establishment person out there. Their entire world is centered around one thing only, winning.
But if they don't win, then perhaps it's because they made a mistake with this player. It's possible. Right.
There is zero evidence to that to date.
And there's zero evidence the other way.
Of course there is.
Of course there is.
He literally came back from injury and the team got worse. He literally had four games as the lead dog. They won none of them.
Right.
That's not evidence?
That's his fault, right?
No. See, don't do that.
No.
It's not his fault.
You're drawing a line between two points that is not straight. It's a crooked line based on your own convenience.
No, it's not my own convenience.
Jimmy Butler played all four of those games.
What the hell does that have to
do? Draymond Green played all four of those games.
And what do those two have that Jonathan doesn't?
They have
a track record of winning.
Well, Draymond does. Yes. Jimmy has never won a ring.
Okay.
I mean,
he doesn't have
Jonathan
a
has
record.
More rings than Jimmy Butler, so we can just can talk about track record of winning.
My line's crooked. You're gonna
mine's intentionally wriggly. Mine's all over the place, but it's just a fact.
Why would you are on the hot seat?
Why would
Mark Willard?
Thank you, Philmo. Why would you make this about my convenience? What the hell do I have? This has not got anything to do with me. I don't care. I'm a Warrior fan.
Right.
I've said this the whole time.
Sure.
Thank you. I mean, I do. But anyway.
Right. I just wonder why you're making this big of a deal out of
I'm not making a big deal out of it. I wasn't the one who called the show.
You're
I'm
the one who
here.
Put Kuminga on the hot seat.
No, I didn't. My pick was Lamont Wade.
And then you did say, though, that...
Because people texted it in.
And you're like, yeah, you can see it.
Yeah.
I don't see that. Like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not making a big deal out of anything. At all. But I will forever not understand how we make opportunity in life about this. To me, this is a loser's mentality. Opportunity in life based on whether or not someone else will grant it to you. Make it. This is professional sports. It's a meritocracy. Nobody is holding you down. If you fit perfectly and you're awesome and you do XYZ, you're in. You're in. Now, we're all adults here. We can all see that a lot of this is circumstantial. And nobody has ever said that Jonathan is not a good NBA player. Steve Kerr included has always said this is about fit and timing. That's all. I'm not the one making this an offensive topic. It's not offensive to me.
I'm not offended at all.
I find it very understandable and without blame and fault the whole time on anyone's side.
Right.
It's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, and I see opportunity in different ways. And yes, if he's amazing, then he'll probably be given more opportunity. That's easy. And if he's not very good, then he won't have any opportunity. And that's all of professional sports. But if you're somewhere in between, like Jonathan Kuminga, you can look at it if you're somebody who thinks he deserves more opportunity, and you could be frustrated by the fact that he doesn't get as much opportunity to play as you think that he should.
Of course he can be frustrated, and he is.
And that, I think, is where...
But I don't think
I'm not going to speak for Philmo Mike, but I think that's where the point is derived. The Kuminga fans are frustrated because they don't think that he's been given enough opportunity by Steve Kerr to go out there and be awesome.
And that's fine, and I understand the point, and I will forever be confused why those fans can't see Steve's point that the timing didn't line up based on an unfortunate injury that happened, followed by a major acquisition, followed by a tremendous amount of winning. I don't understand why everyone wants to ignore that, as if that's supposed to be something that you can be flimsy with. I'll never understand it. That's fine. You don't understand my point. I don't understand yours. This is sports radio. That's what we
do.
I'll never understand why the point that Steve has made ad nauseum is not accepted by more people, because it makes absolutely clear as day sense to me that Jonathan got hurt. And then when he came back, they were awesome.
Yeah, they were winning.
And they didn't want to mess with that. They tried a little bit, didn't like it.
Right.
And then said, you know what? We got to go try to win in the playoffs. The same people who want Jonathan to have this runway are usually the same people that think everything should be about maximizing Steph Curry. And I believe that's exactly what Steve was trying to do. He's like, we don't have time for exploration.
Right, and they didn't have time to practice and integrate. I understand
exactly that,
but for me, it goes further down the road when you look at Jonathan Kuminga, who just was not allowed to play at all. And that's where fans who love Kuminga, and I'm a big Kuminga fan, I understand what Steve was doing. I also was a little surprised that he didn't play at all in those games in the Houston series, because I thought he brought a dimension, and you and I actually had this discussion. I think I put the over-under on him playing at, like, a minute.
A half a game or something like that.
And
I took the under.
Yes, and you were right. And, you know, outside of garbage time, of course, and he ended up not playing in those games, and I didn't understand it. And Steve explained it, and he's the coach, and I get it. And if you're Kuminga, you're frustrated, and if you're a big Kuminga fan, you're like, why aren't you playing him? And there are games that he didn't play, and they lost, and, you know, that's where fans get to fan the way they want to do it.
Of course. I mean,
that's why many people on the text line, I think, are putting Steve Kerr on the hot seat.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, the Steph Curry injury is just so damn unfortunate because it led to all of this. You know, it led to all of this. It just it activated so many opinions that didn't even make sense because they were winning.
Well, it makes it even more activated because Kuminga comes in and cooks for four games.
Right.
And they lost all four.
And they go 0-4. Like that. What gets forgotten is that I understand you may be frustrated that he wasn't in the game, but what gets lost is they were winning. They're winning. They won without him when Jimmy arrived. They made the playoffs. They won the play-in game. Then they beat the two seed. Yep. Then they took a 1-0 lead in the next series. It's all going really well. Then your best player gets hurt, and it is activated an argument that, to me, kind of comes from a faux place. Because you just mentioned evidence. We don't really have a whole lot to suggest otherwise, because assessing this team without Steph Curry, to me, is kind of pointless. It's kind of pointless. So then doing the whole, like, hey, I could sit here and go, hey, they lost all four of those games. And then you could go, but he averaged 23 points a night. And I'm like, they're both kind of faux points. They're flimsy. It doesn't matter. Of course they lost them. They didn't have Steph Curry. And of course Jonathan scored a bunch of points. They didn't have Steph Curry. It all goes back to that injury, in my mind. And that's what's so unfortunate. It's got a lot of people arguing about something that doesn't even really exist. The Warriors can't function without Steph Curry. I don't believe.
Well, not at that level, certainly. And you saw it in the Minnesota series. And, you know, Kuminga didn't play in four of the playoff games. And in those four games in the Houston series, they went 2-2. So if he would have played all four of those games, would they have automatically gone 4-0 or 0-4? We don't know.
No idea.
There's no evidence. And, you know, he played a bunch in game two and he played a good amount in game three. They lost game two and they won game three. So I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, Kuminga not playing was their death knell and the reason why it went seven and the reason why Steph got hurt. Steve made his decisions. I understand it. I just think that when people look at the Kuminga era so far, 4 years in, there's a lot of head scratching and wondering, why doesn't he play more? And the other part of it is, why doesn't he do more? So which side are you on? The why doesn't he play more or the why doesn't he do more? For me, I'm more in the why doesn't he do more, rebound, defend, all the little things that they need.
So there you go.
And if he would do more, then he would play more. And that's kind of what Steve Kerr has always been saying.
And there's a dead zone of, like, you know, you say, does he play more, does he do more? The dead zone to me is, does he fit? Like, you know what I mean? And I think that that's a real place. That's a desert where he lives right now, and that's unfortunate. And we've talked about all that. Like, he got drafted to a championship-level team, and they may not have known that they were a championship-level team when they did it. That's no one's fault. That's no one's fault. That's not the Warriors' fault for assessing it wrong. It's not Jonathan's fault for being on a team that's trying to win a championship when you're 19 years old and you have a certain skill set. Like, I don't know. I do believe that at some point. I think this conversation gets so hot, and there's just nothing nefarious going on here. I think a lot of Warrior fans think there's something nefarious going on here.
Yeah, Steve Kerr hates
Steve
young people.
Steve hates him.
He hates young players.
Hates him. I'm like, really? I mean, is that doesn't make any sense, does it?
Not to me. And if you hated a guy, then you probably wouldn't play him in 258 games over the course of his 4 years. That's a lot of games. So if you truly hate somebody, then you're going to, you know, bury them on the bench and you're going to give them all the DNPs in the world. You're not going to give him any opportunity.
Oh,
and you probably would ship him out of town. But he played 258 games through 4 years, which is almost a full rack of games.
We're going to take some more calls. We're going to throw this into the conversation, though, since we've had some talk today about Bryce Eldridge getting called up to AAA. And our friend Alex Pavlovich sent out a quote from Buster Posey with regard to the call-up of Bryce Eldridge and what it means. And I would love to hear you translate this. Where do you go with this? Listen to what he said. Buster Posey said that it was time for Bryce to get a new challenge. So that's the starter. That's why he's going to AAA. Then he was asked about the rest of the year. And he said the focus is on getting him reps and improving defensively. But added, it's, quote, fluid and, quote, ultimately the goal is to win at the big league level, end quote. How do you translate?
It translates that he's going to go to Sacramento and hopefully he gets better defensively. And if he rakes and he proves that he's dominating there, come on up. But if he's not, you're not just going to call him up because fans really like him and he's 6'7" and he's the shiny new toy. And you want to win. Job number one is to win. And I think about Buster Posey himself, and I was looking at this earlier, Mark, when he comes up in 09, Buster does, gets a tiny little sip of coffee, 17 at-bats, starts the next year in Fresno, then the AAA team, and he goes out, and in Fresno, he has an OPS of 995 over the course of 47 games. He basically is so dominant that they had to bring him up. They bring him up and trade Benji Molina, for crying out loud. Yep. All right, you get the job, kid. You're ready. You're amazing. Come on up and be the guy. So if Bryce Eldridge goes to Sacramento now and has an OPS of 995 over the course of 47 games, which is about, I don't know, 8 weeks, come on up, kid. And now you are our starting first baseman.
I wonder if it'll take 8 weeks. You know what I don't know? I really don't know, and I'm going to try to maybe get some answers on this. It is the defense thing. Like, I don't know where that stands. You know, he mentioned it. I know it's been a thing where they're talking about, I remember Will Clark came on with us a number of months ago. It was like, he's not ready defensively. He's going to rake he didn't say rake. He's going to hit. He's going to hit at the big league level. Can he play first base? Is he there yet? I don't know. I don't know where that's at. So when he says improve defensively, does that mean like, yeah, he is not big league ready yet? Or does it mean, no, it's possible, but we want this to look even better than it does? I don't know. I try to get that answer because I think that has a lot to do with whether or not they'd be open to having him on the team at some point this year.
Yeah, because I think DH-wise, you're pretty comfortable with, you know, Wilmer. And I do think that, especially with Wilmer's, I don't want to talk about his man's body, but he seems really suited to the DH where you don't have to go out there and play a lot of defense and get worn down. And Wilmer's had a great year as the DH.
I agree completely, but I think there's a trickle down to having Wilmer be the DH, which right now also means Lamont Wade's.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The first baseman, you know, Wilmer can play some first for sure. And if you're able to do that and put someone else in the DH spot who might give you more production, then you know, maybe there's that effect. But you're not wrong that to this point they won't do it. Like, for instance, tonight Flores and Encarnacion are both in the lineup, but Schmidt will play first base. Now I think they're facing a lefty tonight. I believe. Is that right? Is that guy a lefty? Their lineup tonight looks like they're facing a lefty. He's not? Well, then why are Wade and Yaz both sitting?
That's struggling.
They're putting out a bunch of right-handers against the right-hander. Okay. I just assumed it was a lefty because I'm looking at this lineup, and it's Schmidt and Encarnacion getting the two platoon spots.
Yeah, Ryan Burgert. Yeah.
And Betsy.
And Baseball Reference, you need to clean it up because he bats right and he throws right. No, he doesn't bat right.
Right.
He no longer bats.
He no longer bats at all.
So. Right.
And yes, Lucas brings up, Lamont got hit on the hand last night, so that might have something to do with it.
Gotcha.
But Encarnacion and right, Yaz out against a right-handed pitcher.
Yeah.
That's someone they feel like needs a day off.
And I think that him getting called up to AAA is really appropriate as we talk about this hot seat because Lamont Wade is probably the leader in the clubhouse of hot seatdom because if Eldridge can start to rake, he's coming up, and Lamont, thank you for your service. We don't need you.
Possibly.
Or, you know, Ryan O'Hearn of the Orioles is a first baseman with real power, and I think that he's going to be available in the trade market. So if you're Lamont Wade, the seat is very hot, and I wanted to share this from my jeweler, Orlando at Davidson and Leaked.
Okay.
He said a great one. He said, hot seat, Trent Williams.
Oh.
Salary, injury, Trent Williams. And
you like that one?
I love that one.
I don't think Trent's on the hot seat at all.
I think that if he doesn't play well, they're going to eventually draft a left tackle.
Well, sure. That's just based on his age.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he fell down in the PFF left tackle or the tackle rankings.
I hear you.
He dipped. I like it, Orlando. Trent Williams on the hot seat.
Look, everybody gets their pick. Trent is still, that's the big dog in that locker room. That's the big man. The guy that doesn't even need a name. That's the one they're like, that's the big guy.
Well, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a year with that schedule, and you've got an offense that I think is going to need some step-up performances from some people. Trent Williams, I like it, Orlando.
Okay.
I got you.
888-957-9570. We are indeed taking calls on who you would like to put on the Bay Area sports hot seat, player, coach, general manager, whatever it is, basically in honor of two things. A, for the third time this year, a playoff NBA coach got fired, and this one went to the Final Four. So Thibs is out with the New York Knicks, and this is also in the shadows of me making the comment yesterday that the Niners, Giants, and Warriors have no coaches or execs that are currently on the hot seat. But if we welcome everybody to the party, who would you like to put on the hot seat? Maybe who we're not thinking about right now, because I certainly wasn't thinking about the Knicks and the Nuggets and the Grizzlies all firing their coach, but they sure went and did it. So how about GPD in Hayward? Grandpa Daddy's on the line. What's up, Grandpa Daddy?
Man, you guys are too cool. I love you, man.
I'll tell you who's on the hot seat.
I'm going to tell you who's on the hot seat. Mark, right now, I just want to let you know, you're basically hitting it right on the head. Dibbers, you made one comment that hit it on the head about Kuminga. But I'm going to tell you who's on the hot seat. The freaking fanatics, a.k.a. the fans. You guys are talking all this, and you don't even know what you're talking about because you don't do the job. How can you put anybody on the hot seat if you really don't know how to do the job? Kuminga had all his chances to show what he's about. And everybody, this is professional sports, bro. Come on. When you get drafted and you come up, you better do your job. And if you don't, you want to be on the bench. Please, guys, tell me, what does DMP stand for? I don't know the acronym. Can you help me out here?
Did not play.
Yep.
Did not play. Well, he did not play because you just can't score points. You got to play defense. You got to stand around looking for the ball. You got to move. You got to pass. You got to do everything, not just score points. I'm tired of hearing about Kuminga, and I'm tired of the fans talking and acting like they know what they're talking about when they don't, because none of them are getting paid to do the job. These guys, I love you guys, man.
Grandpa Daddy.
GPD, thank you very much. Appreciate the phone call.
I didn't know if he was serious about not knowing what DNP was or if he was making a joke, saying like, he didn't play. What is DNP?
I thought it was going to be like a setup. Like, I thought it was going to go a rhyme. Like, that's right. What's it stand for? Did not play?
He did not play.
Like, I thought that was going to be, I wasn't sure either, but.
Yeah, DNP. He did not play. That's right. Yeah.
Not today. No. He did not play.
Easy there, Dr. Seuss.
Sorry. I still have a little one. Anyway. Listen. I get all opinions when it comes to that whole thing. The part that I don't understand, and I never will. Like, if you want to not agree with the way Steve has played this, fine. Go ahead. Don't agree. But for some reason, where this ends up, it ends up down a path where something nefarious is taking place. Steve Kerr is discriminating against Jonathan. Or he does not like young people. And by the way, those of you who, here's the other part that I'll never get. Y'all think Steve's making this decision by himself. That's the other one that I think is bananas. You think that he's got no assistant coaches. You think that he's not consulting Stephen, Draymond, and Jimmy. And you think that he's not consulting Mike Dunleavy. And you think that Steve is out there acting alone on this one. And I can promise you that he's not. I promise you that. So, everybody have your opinion. If you think that the Warriors are wrong for doing this, that's fine. That's fine. But Steve does not hate anybody who's on the roster, and Steve is not making that decision on his own. That's a fact.
Whatever his personal feelings are about any individual on the team, I know this. He is there trying to win. And if you think that he's trying to win, and if you think that he's done well at winning, which he has, then for me, you give him a certain amount of grace in the decisions he makes, even if it comes at the expense of a guy who you think deserves more PT. That's just the way I look at a coach who has won at that level. It's like, okay, you've won four titles and you're one of the winningest coaches in the postseason ever. You're one of six with 100 postseason wins already. I'm going to go ahead and give you a little bit of a pass.
I'm with you, and it doesn't make him automatically right. But again, it's not coming from a place of hatred, and it's not coming by himself. That much I know. I know that for a fact. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Certainly here for your phone calls. Who do you want to put on the Bay Area hot seat? 888-957-9570. Bryce Eldridge is up to AAA. The Giants have reportedly discussed getting a hit tonight. All of this is on the table here as we head for the 5 o'clock hour on Willard and Dibbs.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.